Hello, this is Pastor Bill. I'm joined with Pastor Sean here at the Brian Mike, and we're bringing you an article that was put on the CBS News website on the 19th, so yesterday at 7:17 p.m., by Holly Williams. It's entitled, Brutal Gang Rape Sparks Culture Crisis in India. Brought this article to you because I'm interested in showing us that humanity is much the same on both sides of the Pacific Ocean. New Delhi. India is having a cultural crisis after a brutal attack that made news all over the world. In December, a young woman was gang raped and later died. The crime has unleashed a wave of protests over the treatment of women in Indian society. I just wanted to point out, Pastor Sean, that often people talk about the religion of Christianity being sort of anti-woman. You know, subversive to women, of the fundamentalist type of Christianity, of where, you know, we got to be careful of that word because, you know, when they think of fundamentalism, what do you think of?
They think of Islamic fundamentalism right. Today, militant Islamic mm-hmm. fundamentalism, sure.
So if you were to use a word to describe a Bible believer of the historic type, what would you prefer to use to describe yourself?
Wow, that's a tough question. You know, evangelical, but evangelical is such a loose term, Bill, that who knows what that means anymore. Reformed has all kinds of negative connotations with it, and it means that you don't care about souls, and you're kind of in bed with the Catholic Church, sort of, somehow. Protestants are very... It's difficult. Terms mm-hmm. have got such negative connotations associated with them. You know, a lot of churches are just going to Bible, and we're a Bible church, you know, and well, what does that mean? That's all over the map as well.
Sure, certainly those who would call themselves affirming churches, and we know that's code for accepting of the gay and lesbian lifestyle, they don't mind having labels like that, but people who would say that they are fundamentalist Christians, people who believe the Bible, would say that Paul was a bigot because he said things like, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And so Christianity is often seen as a religion subversive to women. But here we have a non-Christian culture understanding now that women are not treated right in Indian society. Now, we're going to come back and dovetail in just a few moments, probably towards the end of the article, which is just a couple of pages. We're going to dovetail back to this idea of what Christianity actually does for women. All right, so here we go. Second paragraph. Badri Nath Singh is grieved for his daughter, or grieving for his daughter. She was a college student, just 23 years old, when she died after being viciously gang raped. Police say her ordeal began when she boarded a bus with a boyfriend at night. A small group of men on board seemed to have planned their attack. Like, can you imagine the helpless feeling this boyfriend had, trying to protect a 23-year-old girl against a group of thugs? The pair was beaten, the young woman was raped and violated with an iron rod, and then both of them were thrown from the moving bus, naked and bleeding.
Imagine that. You know, Bill, sometimes I imagine hell, and I think to myself, why does anybody have to go to hell? And I think to myself, how horrific is hell? Hmm. And then when I read a story like this, my mind goes just the opposite, which is, that's where they belong.
Yeah.
You know, that I mean, there's nothing here. There's nothing here that goes, this man lost his temper, or this was a lack of judgment, or I can't ever see myself doing this.
No way.
Okay? There's no way in a thousand lives could I see myself doing what's described here. I don't ever want to be pharisaical in my approach to life and think I could never fall into sin. But not this kind of sin, Bill. Not this kind of sin. This is horrific.
Of course it is. And the concerning part is that that these are men who were raised by parents, probably, maybe, one parent, two parents, and somewhere along the line, they left what you would hope to be a cultural norm, which is at least a general respect for people, for people. I don't know how it's possible to cross that line like that.
No, this is, Bill, this is almost demonic.
Of course it is.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this is out of the pit of hell,
right,
is where this comes from.
Right. And so if you're a Bible believer, or rather if you are a skeptic, you would scoff at hell until someone does this to your daughter or your wife,
right,
or your girlfriend.
Right, and then you would be thankful that there's a hell.
That's right. You would be thankful that we would be preaching on things like there's a holy God.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Who hates sin. Yeah.
That judgment needs to be executed right. against these, that these men need to lose their lives, that they don't need to be giving another breath
right.
on the planet.
Yeah.
If this was your daughter.
Right. Then all of a sudden you are having very godlike thoughts about justice. Yeah. My love for my daughter was as deep as the ocean, Mr. Sink told CBS. I want the men who did this to her to be hanged.
That's appropriate.
Yeah, and he's very kind, isn't he?
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We should not find an ounce of issue with what he says.
No. He's in agreement. I would imagine, given his culture, I think it's unfortunate, but given his culture, he's probably not a Christian. And yet he agrees with the prophet Moses, who wrote in Genesis 9:6, if a man sheds another man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. So this is very godlike to desire vengeance and justice, to desire it. He worked double shifts, the father did, Mr. Sink, to work double shifts as an airport baggage handler to buy a home in a poor neighborhood and to educate his children. Now his wife, Asha, sits alone in a darkened room of their home. Since her daughter's death 2 months ago, she hasn't left the house.
The crime sparked an outpouring of rage in India. Thousands of protesters have taken to the streets, angry over what they say is an epidemic of harassment and violence against women.
So if you're a father and mother watching now a culture rising up and saying, look, this is a problem nationwide, then we understand that the skeptics on this side of the Pacific Ocean don't have a leg to stand on who say that it is a Christianity problem.
Now, this is a global problem.
Sure it is. Sure it is. The dehumanizing of people, in particular in this situation, the dehumanizing of women. Garima Srivastava organized some of the protests. She says that Indian women live with fear every day. She says, I feel angry because I am a citizen of this country, Srivastava said. I have the right to live as safely as a man. I would say, so why me? Why a woman? What have I done? Activists like Garima Srivastava says the violence is a clash between traditional values and a new generation of educated, modern women whose independence is threatening for some Indian men. Now, Bert, you've been to the Middle East, and I think you've been in some degree around the world. Can you unpack that a little bit, how independent, educated women is threatening to some Indian men, as she says?
Well, this is insecurities, Bill. That's what this is. This is the insecurities that are in all of us because of our sin nature. That's the root of this exact issue.
Right.
You know, Bill, as I was listening to you and yesterday in Colorado, in the state of Colorado, a Democratic representative was speaking to a mic and a video, or there's a video of it, and they have ruled in the state of Colorado that concealed carry permits do not apply to college campuses.
Hmm.
So that a woman cannot carry a gun on a college campus.
Wow.
And what the lawman said is that they need to run to the call box. You know the call boxes, Bill, where you know the on college campuses that and the lawman said that the reason we have to do this is because women are not competent enough to know who to shoot and who not to shoot. Now,
good heavens.
Think about this situation right here, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
On a bus, the only thing that would have worked to save this woman's life is a gun.
That's a fact. Right.
There's nothing else. A knife would not have worked against six or seven guys.
No.
There's nothing.
That's close contact.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's nothing that would have worked other than pulling out a handgun and pointing it at somebody and saying, do you want to be the first to die? Because maybe you're going to take this gun away from me, but somebody's going to die before you take this gun away from me.
Right.
And that's the only deterrent that would have worked. and then moving to the front of the bus and telling the bus driver to stop the bus. Because remember, Bill, there's somebody driving this.
Sure. Yep.
There's somebody driving this.
Who's probably afraid.
Scared out of his life.
Right. Yep.
To stop or to go or what's going to happen right. to him.
You added, a step that might not, she wouldn't even have to pull it out of her purse. Really? Would she? I mean, I suppose that she would stand up with witnesses, and she might very well have been able to shoot the first person through the purse, you know,
right.
and fend off the crowd.
Just a gunshot, Bill, yeah. is normally enough to alert people because that's the sound that says somebody's going to die.
Right.
You know, there isn't anything else that communicates somebody's going to die like a gunshot.
That's right.
There's nothing with a club or a stick mm-hmm. or a knife that does. A gunshot immediately says the potential exists for me to die.
And how frivolous is it exactly to say we don't allow guns on campus? That's about as dumb as it can get. That's like saying this school is drug free. Oh, well, then that must mean there's no drugs here.
That's right.
Yeah. And so really the only people that are not going to have guns are the law abiders. And nothing says vulnerable women walking here quite like saying you may not carry a gun.
That's right. Because the only ones that are going to obey that are the women, brother.
Yeah.
That's the only ones. It's so insane. It shows you how upside down our culture has got.
Right. So if you're a dad paying tuition for a baby going through first, second year of school, what are you going to do about that? You know, how are you going to handle that?
Well, if you're a dad, Bill, you need to really give serious consideration to the idea of why am I sending my daughter to a state university mm-hmm. with 40,000 people on here, many of which are homos and more of which are perverts.
Right.
What are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
With as many solid Christian schools that you can send your child to that are small, that are safe, that are much, much... Sure, I know sin goes on there.
Of course it does.
Of course. We're not saying that. Right. We're not saying these are perfect places.
No.
But come on, the probability, Bill, with 40,000 students versus 400 students or 4,000 students,
right.
there's still places that you can send your kid and get a great education in accounting or any number of other...
Right. And you know, since we're sort of, you might remember the book written by Kevin Roos, I think it was called An Unlikely Disciple, where he, a Brown University student, hides out at Liberty for a semester. Right. I read that book. And, you know, as much of a black eye as he sort of, in a satirical way, gives to evangelical Christianity through the people he roomed with, dormed with, went to class with, etc., dated, still, the spread of debauchery between the two extremes is astronomical. The worst, you know, quote unquote, drug addict, sinner slash whatever in the dorm at Liberty University can't hold a match to the horrible life that one would experience at Colorado University or wherever.
Right, right, absolutely. Especially Colorado, Bill, now where even marijuana is legalized.
Right.
And now they're allowing the non-residents to smoke it there, and so it's going to become a haven for people to go there. Tourism. You come
sure.
here and buy your pot.
Sure. And there's miles and miles and miles of land waiting for development in Iraq and in Colorado, and so there's no need for there to be... All right, so and now another taboo is being broken. Here's the other taboo in India being broken. Survivors of rape are daring to speak out. For example, a 16-year-old girl. Now, the first one we talked about was 23 years old. She was the one the article first discussed. And now we have a 16-year-old, and she has preferred not to use her name. She told CBS how she was gang raped last year by 8 of her neighbors, who filmed the attack on a cell phone. Now that just makes me want to throw up and then find the men. Her father was so ashamed he committed suicide. Now, I'm not sure. Good heavens. If I was the father, I would like to think that I would do something else, but I cannot fathom this cultural.
What is there to be ashamed about? I guess the daughter has lost her virginity and therefore is no longer marketable as a legit...
Yeah, what kind of dowry is going to get for a rape right. victim? I suppose that's what we're talking about, but I can't fathom. Maybe it's just the shame now that his family is seen as weak because they're victims. I don't have any idea.
Maybe the guilt, Bill, that he didn't protect his daughter from this from happening.
Yeah. So how did she find the courage to speak out? I come from an educated family and I understand these things, she said. Many other girls are too frightened, but I went to the police. You mind reading that?
The men accused of raping and killing Singh's daughter are already... Wait, I must have missed something here.
No, it's going back to the first, the 23-year-old.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. The men accused of raping and killing the Singh's daughter are already on trial. Though a verdict could be months away, her terrible death has seen more and more Indian women finding their voice and using it to shout out in anger. You know, Bill, I have no idea why Christianity is accused of being a religion that creates women as second-class citizens when we see the number of things in the Word of God that are designed to protect the person of women.
Right. For example, we find that that the woman is called Adam's helper, that is meat for him. Not below him, not above him, meat for him.
Right.
A helper. And that's not even getting all the way to Christianity. That would be considered Judeo-Christian. But Paul, the one who's viewed as the ultimate chauvinist, says that in Christ there are no more male or female.
Right.
You know, they are of equal grounding, both as sinners before the conversion and as saints after Christ has found them.
Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. There's an amazing amount of respect for the contribution of women. In the Gospels, we see women as being legitimate followers of Jesus Christ,
Yeah. Recognized
for the contribution they make. We have the Lord Jesus Christ appearing after his resurrection
to women first,
Yeah. In particular.
Yeah.
There's nothing that would give you any sense that women are second-class citizens. But what happens, Bill, is this functional differences between how we serve in the body of Christ is what gives people this impression that Christianity is, in fact, treats Christian women as second-class citizens. The fact that pastors need to be males according to the Word of God seems to be create this distinction that's perceived that way. But that's a functional difference. We see the same functional difference in the Trinity.
That's true.
The Son of God willingly submits to the leadership of the Father and has no problems with it. And it doesn't take away from the glory that this Father desires to shed on the Son.
That's right.
I mean, the Father wants to exalt the Son. The Father takes pride in the fact that the Son is being exalted and lifted up and glorified. And just not any more different than a husband is thrilled when his wife is successful in something and does well in something. And,
yeah.
And he doesn't feel threatened by that.
No, and that just drives this Christian, the one in my flesh, it makes me want to be a great husband. It makes me want to share whatever glory is given to me. It makes me want to share it with my wife. It makes me want to be a better man to my wife.
I can't imagine living my life without my wife. The degree to which she is a completer is beyond measure.
Yeah.
Just beyond measure. And we know for a fact, Bill, that it's God's plan. It's not God's plan for men to be roaming the streets and raping people. It's God's plan for men to get married.
Right.
And to settle down and be engaged in a monogamous relationship with one woman.
Right.
And that's why these men are acting this way, Bill. These aren't married guys.
Yeah, we need to talk about Eastern culture for a minute. Best I've been able to tell now, several trips to the Middle East, several trips to the Far East, a couple of trips to the Far East. I have to say that it appears, from what I've understood, from what I've observed, from the people that we have here, from exchange students, that kind of thing, it seems like that there is this fad of putting marriage off for an exorbitant amount of time until this... this quasi-honorable thing of multiple layers of education and home stability.
But Bill, I would submit to you that statistically, that's not just a Far East, Middle East thing. Now it's coming into the United States as well.
Yeah.
That people are getting married later and later, and that we have more and more young men in between the age of 20 and 30 that are not married. And let's just go on record and say that's not God's plan.
Yeah, my point exactly. 1 Corinthians 7 says it's better for a, you know, a man should not be touching a woman, a woman should not be touching man, but let them have their own spouses. Let a man have his own wife. So it's better for him to marry than to burn. Well, when does that burning start taking place?
Right.
Yeah. What gives me as a father the right to tell my son, you're not allowed to burn until you're 25. You're not allowed to have desires for women until you're done with college. Those are things we better be real careful about. And we better parent our sons.
Well, we've created this environment, Bill, that you can't get married until you're done with a additional four-year education.
Right.
You know, so it used to be in America, it used to be that high school, you had to finish high school and then you could get married. Now we've changed that. Now we've said, no, there's now this new requirement, which is an additional 4 or 5 or even 6 years.
Of full-blown manhood.
Right.
Yeah.
In which you should be at the peak of who you are and enjoying all that God created you to be. We're now saying, no, you must now resist for 5 more years. Why?
Right.
Where did this come from? Why can't two adults get married and go to college at the same time? Why have we created this scenario whereby my daughter is not eligible for marriage until she has a college degree?
What we're trying to do is reduce the stress that they feel of balancing two things called work and family.
But I would submit to you, we might be reducing some stress, Bill, by allowing them to engage in sex as often as they want under the glory of it,
right,
and then get back to the book, so to speak.
Right. Well, how does it change a man? Now, let's talk about you, for example. You graduated at 18, I'm guessing.
Right.
Where'd you graduate high school?
Perrysburg, Virginia.
Okay, and you worked in a restaurant for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And then got in the Army at age 20. And you completed your college degree well into your employment.
That's right.
How old were you when you finished your bachelor's degree from Thomas Edison?
Yeah, from Thomas Edison State University with a degree in history, and I guess I was probably 35.
Wow.
Yeah,
so
old.
So well into your adult years, well into your employment years. And that's why I really appreciate what you said, I think it was Sunday night, about it being acceptable to be a tradesman. I think you talked about Sunday night about Paul.
Yeah, because he had a trade.
Right. And so he was working a job. Now, maybe not everyone can go and join an electrical union. I'm just throwing that out there, okay? Maybe not everyone can go and be an apprentice to a plumber. But we do know that it's possible for a person to get a job at Chick-fil-A, Lowe's, Kmart, and be okay working themselves up in that system until they're making a respectable wage. And then what if it takes them until they're 30 to get a college degree, if they ever get one?
So what?
Yeah, so what?
We've created this new scenario, Bill, which we have two classes of people, failures and those that are getting a college degree. That's really the two classes of people.
Right.
You know, if you go off into the Army or the Air Force, the Marines, or you go get a trade, or you become a mechanic, or you say, I want to paint houses, then you're pretty much considered a failure. You're no longer eligible to be a good husband and a good father and those kind of things. I wouldn't want my daughter marrying one of those kind of guys. And we're only looking for guys who have advanced degrees.
Right. And we're almost producing a Christian guild of professional students, these guys that are always learning. They're at every, let me just Christianize it for a moment into our scenario. You might run into these people. They're at every Bible study, buying every book. They're involved in every theological conversation. They're always tweeting, Facebooking. They're always involved with everything that used to be classified as, man, what a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
But they're often single or negligent in parenting.
Right. They're not doing what God created them to do, first and foremost. I mean, let's go all the way back to the cultural mandate in Genesis.
Right.
Which is have dominion, repopulate the earth.
Right.
You know, that,
and enjoy your work. Take
yes.
joy in being a man who's working in the garden in with, that scenario.
Yes, glorify God through your work.
Yeah.
And we've created a scenario whereby work is a drudgery.
Right.
And I need to do as little as possible so that I can do all this other stuff.
Right.
And that's why we're in the mess that we're at as a society. And I don't mean a society in the United States. I mean the world, the globe.
Right.
I mean, these guys that are gang raping, Bill, should be home in bed with their wives.
Right.
That's where they should be.
Yes, but instead they're probably advanced students. Or still living with parents or whatever.
Thugs.
And, right, right. Sure.
And we know clearly, Bill, that a woman matures a man.
Sure.
That getting married and having those responsibilities advances a man's maturation rate.
Right.
And the guys who are married don't sit around playing video games.
Right.
There's diapers to change. Or clubbing. There's things. Right.
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 Well, we've definitely touched on an issue there. Now I want to bring you back to a theological point before we let the listener go, and that is I want to talk about we say that the woman who was I hesitate to say it again because it is graphic, but violated with an iron rod during a gang rape. That is horrific. It makes me sick. And we say that person deserves hell. What do we say to the listener who is a good churchman who says in their mind, yes, that person deserves hell. I'm glad I'm not like that. What do we say to that?
Well, I think the first thing we would say is, but by the grace of God, you were born in the culture that you were born in. You were born in the family that you were born in. You were dropped into the church. So just think all about how your life could be radically different if you were born somewhere else. Just right off the bat.
Right.
Born in Afghanistan. Born in India. Born in the slums of India with no running water bill. I mean, the living conditions all over the globe are just disgusting compared to what we enjoy every day.
Right.
And when we think of ourselves as too much, that's what we're saying there. That's what we're comparing ourselves there. We need to remember how much common grace we've received from God.
Right. Yeah. Now, theologically, how bad do you have to be to go to this hell we're saying these violators deserve?
Well, it's unbelievers.
Yeah.
Unbelievers. All you have to do is not believe upon Christ's name. That's it. That's the only criteria. So everything else, you can be as good as you want, yeah, and you can be the best husband, and all that we just described, and the guildsmen, and everything, and everything, and everything, and die and go to hell.
Yeah, sobering.
It is. It is very much so.
So sinners of all types, the rapists and the unbelievers, need salvation.
And they'll be in the same hell.
The same hell, yeah.
Not the same degrees of punishment, though, Bill. We want to pause for just a moment and make sure that the listener understands God is just.
Right. We're going to appeal to another attribute, which is God is just. And just like we would say, wait, those two aren't the same. Well, he says that too.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you get a bye.
No. No.
For ignoring your Creator.
No. No.
Yeah. These men deserve a severe punishment, death.
Yeah.
They need to be removed from the face of the planet so that they never do this again.
Right.
And that's part of her healing process. Part of her healing process is seeing that justice was served, and in our society, we will not allow this to happen. And that doesn't mean that they live in a death row appealing and appealing and appealing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't help her healing process.
No. The greatest act of mercy, in my opinion, in an American scenario, is that somehow a born-again chaplain reaches them on death row. Somehow. And that that Christ breaks their heart over what their sin did to her, to her family, to God. And that somehow they believe on Christ. As far-fetched as that might be to the skeptic.
Much like the thief on the cross, right Bill?
Yeah.
And then he still suffers the punishment for what society determined needed to be crucified.
Certainly.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah. Listener, thanks for listening. We appreciate your time. Send your comments to us or post them directly to this recording.